Welcome to Education 3.0, the new podcast from Kennesaw State University's iTeach Center, where we delve into educational topics like personalized learning, instructional coaching, and the maker movement, and where we get a chance to meet the incredible teachers, administrators, coaches, and students that are out there doing the work every day.
And welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you for joining me this morning. It is a lovely morning here at the park bench on the beautiful campus of Kennesaw State University and the Bagwell College of Education. I am very fortunate this morning to be sitting here with the lovely Nisa Peek. Nisa is the second longest serving member of the iTeach team. She is a instructional technology specialist here with us, and she heads up, she's a project lead heading up our Paulding County project. So do me a favor, everybody, and give your ear to Nisa Peek, and let's say hello. So hello, Nisa, how are you?
Good morning, Andy. Thank you for having me. I love being here and looking out the window on campus on this fall day and thinking about the leaves and how beautiful they're going to be. You're going to have a great view.
It is. And I tell you, it was a chilly motorcycle ride in this morning, but it was nice. Yeah,
that requires a little pumpkin spice latte on the side after you arrive here.
Come
in the
on, I think hashtag trip to Starbucks.
There you go.
Will be my next stop after we record here. I may need to make a pit stop on the way home. So. Well, fantastic. Well, Nisa, the listeners are very fortunate. In the last episode, we talked with you about one of your giant projects that you're working on in Paulding County, the Tech Eds. But we didn't take a lot of time to really get to know you and your background. So why don't we take that time right now, and why don't you tell everyone about your journey to iTeach?
Absolutely. Yes. So I actually was a Virginia native, born and grew up and raised in Virginia, and taught at a middle school in Virginia for 9 years. And I was actually in the specials rotation. I was a computer teacher and absolutely loved it. And in the evenings, I would teach at a local community college teachers their classes, technology classes for recertification back then, as well as some other basic computer classes. And it was at that time, Andy, that I fell in love with teaching adults.
Right.
And I just knew that that is where I wanted to be, just to see the lights coming on when they learn new ways to engage students and to take their teaching really to the next level. I thought, this is what I want to do. And so when we moved here to Atlanta, and that was back in 2011, before we moved, I had seen this job posting here at KSU and was here one weekend and literally got the campus map out and walked in off the street onto the second floor of Bagwell College of Education into the computer lab. And just walking around the computer lab, and I stumbled upon an office door that was open and talked to one of the former employees here and just said, hey, I want to work here. I want to work for y'all. And she introduced me to Tracy Reddish. And the rest is history. I fell in love with this place the minute I walked in it, knew this is where I wanted to be, and it has been a blessing.
Been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Been here ever since.
Well, fantastic. Well, we are glad you're here. Thanks, Tracy, for knowing that Nisa was the right one and pulling her in. Fantastic. So what a journey. And again, Nisa has been a staple here at the university and in the iTeach Center, and back even, you know, in those days when it was just Chris and Nisa and a few other bodies, it was the ETTC and the old Ed Tech Center.
Yes.
And
Debbie Childress, I'll never forget, she was the first staff member that I met. She was the office that I went to that day. I was making my way into the college and getting to know everyone. And actually, I remember, and I don't know if you were here, Andy, but when they had the gravel parking lot out front, and Chris and I would park in the gravel lot and just walk right up. And now we've got parking decks.
Jeez,
we have a kajillion visitor lots. And let me just say, if you ever come onto campus, you better have a permit or pay to park, because parking is at a premium here at KSU.
It is. You cannot. And again, that I refuse to drive my truck here anymore, because every time I do, I get a ticket. And I, not only do I get a ticket, but I get a ticket and I have to walk a half mile, because you cannot park close anymore. So it's ridiculous. That's why, you know, if you're coming on campus, find a friend with a motorcycle. Motorcycle parking is free, and it is right in front, right off the campus green. So that is, you know,
that is rain, the deal. You shine, have the hookup, Andy.
Cold. I'm on two wheels when I come to campus, and it is strictly because of parking.
You are wise.
It was, they even, you know, if you go to kennesaw.edu on the homepage, there's a cool little video there on Hootie Who's, a student made. They even reference parking because it's gotten so out of hand in their video. So we watched it here. Tracy, thanks Tracy again. And just busted out laughing when they were started talking about the parking and how bad it has become. So
yes.
Yeah. No, I don't know that. I think the gravel lot predated me here. I do not remember a gravel lot, but
I miss those days. We come actually, Chris and I would laugh because the bottom of our shoes and our heels would just be eaten alive from that small gravel. And then they came in and started making asphalt, and we gradually had to move, and then we had to start taking the shuttle bus as they built the parking lot. So we have been on that journey, that construction journey here. It's exciting.
Right. What a huge change. I started here as a student my very first time in 1993.
Wow.
And it, what a change, and how different the campus and you know the whole university is. Okay. It had just become a university at that point. Okay. It was
Kennesaw College.
Yeah,
maybe before.
It was State College until I think my sister-in-law was here. Okay. And had graduated, and then it became university. So it was right around 91, 92, you know, okay, that we got university status. So, yeah.
You know, changes. And having said that, you know, back when I first started, this was actually the Educational Technology Training Center, the ETTC.
Right.
And we were a hand, the kind of the arms and the legs of the DOE. And we were on DOE contracts. And there was actually 13 Educational Technology Training Centers around the state of Georgia. And at that time, our audience may remember House Bill 1157, which was NTEC. And that required all teachers to go through the NTEC training, and teachers would get subs and come here to Kennesaw Hall over here at KSU and take the training. And so when I first started, that was my big piece, is I was working with the middle school teachers on the tech eds. And then when we weren't doing the, or working on
NTEC.
The, yes, I'm
we
getting confused with my projects.
In
yes, we do. We were doing NTEC, and then on the days that we weren't doing NTEC, we were doing some classes on Microsoft and some movie making and that type of thing.
Right. That's back when you had to pass a test on, you know, Word and PowerPoint and even
mouse certified.
What was the database? Access? Is that what it was
called?
Yes,
Access database. Yes, I remember those days.
All kinds of crazy stuff. And for those of you really who if you had to sit through NTEC, we've got a running theme this morning. Thanks, Tracy. NTEC
yes,
was
right.
Courtesy of Dr. Reddish's dissertation here at the state. Mm-hmm. She convinced the state that every teacher in Georgia needed some technology training. They agreed. And rolled it out. So thanks, Tracy.
Yes, it was a strong course, strong, robust course.
I think we talked about that on Chris's episode, and even you know, so many times we go out into schools, and it's with you too, and we run into teachers who are like, "Hey, do I remember you from
look familiar?
You know, back from those NTEC days, you know, those late '90s and." Early 2000s NTEC days. So.
We're showing our age, Andy.
I know. Getting old. I told my wife, you know, we haven't even started talking about the podcast stuff yet, have we? I told my wife, though, I've been shaving my head, for those of you who don't see me on the podcast. And my wife told me yesterday, she's like, you know, I'm okay if you wanted to start growing it back out again. And I said, I am growing it out right now. I said, but every time I cut it and it starts to grow back out, there's more gray, considerably, not just a little, considerably more gray that I see protruding. And she started laughing. She said, me too, but I like it. So, yeah, starting to show my age.
There you go.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, man.
Good times. We could probably chat about about these old times all day long. But the listeners want to hear about Nisa and her coaching efforts. So tell us a little bit, Nisa, about an average day as project lead in Paulding County. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you?
Wow, Andy, that's hard to say because every day is fun and thrilling in its own way, and it's all different, which is why I love, along with many of the coaches here, why I love being a coach and a project lead, because each day kind of takes on its own flavor, if you will. Some days I'm working directly with teaching during the Tech Ed project. Other days I'm working on the shoulder-to-shoulder coaching. Other days I'm doing professional development and working directly with schools or with Jenna on rolling out the next new thing or our logistics for the next thing.
Right.
So no 2 days are the same, but that's really what I enjoy.
That's cool. And I'm glad you mentioned talking about planning and doing things with Jenna, because I don't know that's come up yet on any of the podcasts and talking with the coaches, but I think that's a big element that we've missed talking about and that needs to be talked about for coaches out there or teachers that are doing some informal coaching and maybe you want to get more into coaching, is that there's a big piece of design that goes into coaching. I mean, we're not out here just winging it.
No.
This is thoughtful. It's on purpose. It is by design. And that, I'm glad you brought that up because there is a big element of thoughtful design that goes into coaching.
There really is. And the research, so I was listening to a TED Talk, which was by David Kelly in Creative Confidence, which is his book. He's authored that, and it really is centered around design thinking, as you so eloquently segued us into this part. And he talks about empathy, and empathy being a huge role
right.
in design thinking, and really thinking with what our teachers already are doing, and that's with the end in mind, but thinking about what we're building for our constituents, whether that be teachers or students. And if I can share this one little story with you, he,
please,
in his little TED Talk, shared this kind of heartwarming story. Doug Dietz, who invented the MRI machine and really devoted his life to building this MRI machine, wanted to see how it would work after it was built, and visited a hospital. And much to his chagrin, he saw child after child at a pediatric hospital holding a nurse's hand, crying as this child would see this huge machine.
Yeah.
Yes, scared to death. And as a matter of fact, Annie, there's an 80% sedation rate for children to be okay, to be able to go into this machine.
Yeah,
so as you can imagine, his heart just fell because that's not what he desired at all.
Right.
So, and this brings back that design thinking. So he went back to the empathy and interviewed kids, parents, and said, what would it take? How do we need to do this differently to have your children not be so anxious about this procedure? And they did a book on Welcome to the MRI, and it's not called that, but it's a little something. I can't remember exactly.
Right, right.
But a little book welcoming to it. And then if you Google the MRI and the Doug Dietz, you'll see pictures where they have now made it into like a Disney experience. So the MRI are painted like rocket ships, and they're getting ready to launch into the rocket. And as they hear the large sound, the loud sounds, and maybe getting nervous as they're buckling up, you can hear them saying, you're being launched into the shuttle, and it's all colorful and bright. And, you know, I think of Buzz Lightyear and that ride over in Disney,
yeah, yeah.
Something like that. And so now the seduction rates are much, much lower, maybe 20% at this point. So just having that empathy level is huge.
Right. That's amazing. I remember I blew my leg up it was 1993, a soccer game, and I remember my MRI, and it wasn't fun. I remember being nervous down in that tunnel. You know, they tell you don't move. You know, and it took a while. It seems like it was a long time, and you just hear those strange clicking noises. And I'm sure it's gotten better. That was a few years ago, but yeah, I would have preferred. Even as a senior in high school, I think a Disney experience to,
yes, absolutely.
To my MRI experience. That's that's crazy. But
back to that design thinking and that empathy, I think that's a huge role in that shoulder-to-shoulder coaching that we do, and coming alongside the teachers and being in the classroom with them and experiencing what the students are experiencing.
Absolutely. I say it all the time, and I don't think I can say it enough. The world could use more empathy. Everyone, everywhere, I think we could all use more empathy. I'm a giant Brené Brown fan. If you were fortunate enough to be at South by Southwest EDU last year and got to see her closing, but she talks a lot about empathy and being vulnerable. And I think that those are two qualities that you find in excellent teachers and in excellent coaches.
Absolutely.
So fantastic. All right. Wow. Now we're all emotional and
our heart of teaching is right there.
I know. Excuse me while I get tissue in my mind here. It's just dusty. So tell us, Nisa, you've been out of Pauling County for a while. You've been working out there. We listened last week about the tech eds. So tell us about a success story. And I'm going to guess you're going to tell us a little bit about tech eds, but tell us about a success that you've had out there.
Absolutely. So I think just that first year coming out of the gate teaching tech eds, and teachers were commenting that their teaching was recharged, re-energized, that after some of them have been in the classroom for 15 or 20 years, are now looking at their teaching through a different lens. And that really is inspiring to see them get excited, because let's face it, we all want to better ourselves. And sometimes we just don't know where to actually to go or what our next step should be. And this class kind of paved the way. And educators just really were very absorbing of the information and what they could do next. So that was so rewarding for me, for our whole staff, to see the teachers just kind of take off.
Right.
And actually one of them now is doing a virtual reality project with one of the professors here at KSU.
Very cool.
So very exciting.
That's awesome. I love that you talk about that first step, and that oftentimes not just with us as teachers in the classroom, but really in life, a lot of times the hardest step is always that first one.
And I think really that is kind of my mantra, or if I can encourage teachers, and it is to do that one small thing and be thinking about how big impact really comes from doing that small thing and making that first step. I think sometimes we get overwhelmed and thinking we just need to do the biggest thing first. But let me encourage you to do that small thing that leads to that large impact. And there's actually a website, teachers2teachers.org, that talks about the one small thing. And that's kind of where I've gotten my inspiration from. It's hashtag one small thing.
Very cool. Yeah, I think we've heard that expression that, you know, every journey begins with the first step.
Yes.
And that's really, that's the key thing, is taking that first step. Fantastic. So it hasn't all been peaches and cream, I'm sure. You know, as a teacher and a human, with all of our successes, you know, there come challenges along the way as well. So tell us about a challenge that that you have, either, you know, as a coach or as a project lead.
I think my biggest is having enough time to keep up with the ever-changing world of technology and feeling like I'm never really ahead in keeping up with all of the new things that are coming around the bend. And also, I feel like sometimes I can get myself pigeonholed into one particular pedagogy or one particular tool.
Right.
And before I know it, I'm like in these squirrel holes going down and looking at that one thing, and I've missed the big picture.
Right.
And a part of my personality is wanting to be very thorough in my training. So by doing that, sometimes I narrow the playing field rather than keeping the landscape pretty wide. So giving teachers many different options, because I want to specialize and know all I can about that one thing.
Right.
So just having enough time to be able to do all that.
That's fantastic. Do you have any tricks? How do you do it?
Write
things down? Do
yeah,
you set,
I'm
you know,
a
you
big,
tell Siri, hey, yeah. Remind me to do this? What?
Yes. I'm a big Twitter PD fan.
Okay.
There are some go-tos, you know, on Twitter, some educational, instructional technology folks,
sure,
you know, that I follow that are go-tos. When I get ideas, sometimes it's 3 a.m. in the morning, I'll
right.
come up with a great idea. You know how that goes.
I am very familiar with
yes.
that.
Yes. And I think just putting it down on a Google Docs, like I have just an idea station that I go to in Google Docs, and just generate ideas and thoughts. And then I have a couple of bloggers that I follow as well on that ton of free time that we have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's really my one-stop shop is looking at the Twitter feeds, and of course being able to go to conferences when we are able to attend, and really data dump, if you will, into like a Google Docs document, an ongoing document. And you know, for all of you guys out there, we have a great KSU iTeach team, and we have a place called Workplace, which is similar to Facebook, and that is also a go-to, I think, for all of us when we encounter a question or stumble upon something or want some more information. Nothing like having a network of educational technology specialists at your fingertips.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Collaboration is key. I think when I get stuck, and I do the same thing, I'll get in a rut and, you know, I get carried away with and focused on one thing. And, you know, it's easy to lose sight of the grander scheme of things, you know. And so it's nice to be able to have some place. I like the idea of a data dump where I can just open up a doc and kind of throw it all out there so that I can, you know, start over, but I've got it where I can go and reprocess it for later if I want.
Exactly.
I'm very familiar with that 3 a.m. As a matter of fact, it wasn't last night, it was the night before last. I was up at 1:30 and my mind was racing, trying to with ideas for the podcast and with GAETC. And I got up and I was pacing around my kitchen debating whether or not I wanted to open my computer and do my data dump, because I knew if my wife woke up and came in there and saw me on the computer at 1:30 in the morning, she'd yell at me and I would be in trouble. So I was just kind of pacing back and forth. And I think I took out a notepad and started jotting down ideas real quick just to get them out so I can refocus again and go back to sleep. But
absolutely. Yeah, they say some of the best ideas come at the most craziest times.
Absolutely. One of my challenges and struggles as well. Fantastic. So, Nisa, tell us a little bit. Let's learn a little bit more about you personally. So, are you reading anything right now?
Well, actually, I have been inspired since that TED Talk to open the Creative Confidence book by David Kelly, which is the design thinking, the maker movement, creativity, collaboration, some of those higher level thinkings that goes behind that. And as we move forward with the maker spaces that we're having in our media centers in Paulding County, as we look towards MSP Maker Camp this summer in Paulding and our Maker Camp here, it's just great to have that arsenal of the background on the design thinking and really helping students to ask the right questions when they are prototyping and building these projects.
Right. How important is that today, asking the right questions? I mean, really with my children, I'm a nerd at home and I'm a Google guy at home, and we've got we've got Google Homes in the house. I just bought my youngest son the new Mini for his bedroom. So he doesn't have a radio, but he likes to listen to podcasts at night to go to sleep. So he listens to This American Life, and he listens to all kinds of things on NPR.
They're
in the process right now of learning how to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I say it all the time, and I talk to teachers about, you know, if you're asking questions Google can answer, you know, I think we're asking the wrong questions today. And you know, that's so key, because my kids are asking questions now. You know, they can go to class or they come home, and I posted a video, I don't even know where I did it, not too long ago, of my oldest son, who is in the advanced math in the 8th grade, doing his homework with the Google Home. He was asking Google his math questions, and she would spit out the answer.
Wow.
And, you know, I could A, get mad at him, or B, you know,
hey, he's resourceful.
He's using his resources. And I want to challenge the teacher and say, why is he learning this? He's learning how to talk to Google, instead of challenging him to apply this in some way that, you know, that AI can't do for us yet.
Exactly. You know? Yes, that's a good point.
So, asking the right questions, and that's key for kids today, especially as we're asking them to move away from more rote, you know, this industrial age, sit and produce a worksheet for me, and more into this, you know, I want you to design, to solve a problem, to build something.
Exactly.
That's useful.
And then helping them through, hey, it may not work.
Right.
And it's okay if it doesn't work. What do I need to take a look at? What do I need to change? Or maybe I need to change ships altogether. So I think that is opening up the idea that our kids aren't, we're not always right, and it's okay if we're
right.
not.
Absolutely.
It's getting away from the main flow of our thinking, or having a math problem, having just the right answer.
Right.
But kind of opening that door to that higher level thinking.
Right, yeah. And sorting out the processes
yes.
involved.
Exactly.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that is that's fantastic. Nisa, you know, we talk all the time about personalized learning and how it's not all about technology. You know, good teaching is good teaching, and mm-hmm. but personalized learning certainly is being furthered with the advent of all of these resources and the technologies that are available to us and to our students. So that being said, if you had a favorite tool right now, what would it be?
Hands down, I would have to say Canvas, which is what Paulding has purchased. It's the learning management system, and it's our landing page, but it's more than just the landing page. It helps differentiate learning. It gives assessments. It acts as a one-stop shop. We can embed other tools in it. Teachers can use it as a resource. Students can ask questions. There's discussions. Announcements are sent out. It is it meets the needs of all teachers, no matter where they are in the technology process. Some of them may right now just be using it at the beginning entry step, which is what we encourage
right.
as a resource portal, and putting parent newsletters, information on their different subjects and the resources on there. And others are adding the discussion piece, the assignment piece, the quizzes, mastery-based paths, etc. But that, hands down, is the tool that I feel like meets the needs of our learners.
Fantastic. And that really is a giant resource and a giant step. That's a necessary step, I think, today. I remember doing, you know, flipped classroom presentations
yes.
Years ago at workshops and at conferences. And always the first step is you got to have a home. Mm-hmm. You got to have a place to put content that students, that parents, that community, whoever you've got accessing it, you've got to have that landing pad and that repository of resources.
And students love seeing each other's work. They like to be able to comment.
Right.
Many of the students have downloaded the app, and teachers will have them post a video to the discussion. And what child today doesn't like to do an USSE or a selfie, right?
Right? Yeah.
So they jump all over the opportunity to do that. And then to do that gallery walk of saying, hey, what has my neighbor created? And to be able to go home even on breaks and see what students are doing, you know, capturing them reading a book at Disney
right,
or
right.
and reporting live. So that's exciting.
That's very cool. I love that application. Right there, capturing kids out of the classroom,
mm-hmm.
learning and doing better. Fantastic. I love it. Well, before we part and before we go, do you have any last words of encouragement? I know you mentioned one small thing. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, or do you want to say anything if we've got some teachers that are struggling out there, maybe with time management or, you know, anything that's going on? Any last parting words
yes.
for our listeners?
Yes. So there's so many awesome technology resources out there. And if I can just encourage you not to be overwhelmed, but just to kind of take it in and start with something that piques your interest and something that is small, doesn't maybe not seem very revolutionary, but to start with that, and that kind of opens the door for the next big thing or the next big impact. So, just, you know, encourage yourself to make that one small baby step. And you never know who you might encourage. Another teacher may get green with envy and want to know what's going on over there. So you could be the spark that lights the fire in your school.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic, Nisa. Great words of encouragement there. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or follow along on your adventures in Pauling County, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So I'd love to have you all follow me. My Twitter handle is @ Nisa Peak. So feel free. And then I've got a webpage too, which is a Weebly for the tech eds that you can just Google that. But I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for having me today.
Nisa, thank you so much for joining us again. And we will have a link in the podcast description up to the Weebly page. There's always a link to everybody's Twitter handle. on there as well on the podcast description. So thanks again so much, Nisa, for joining me. Really enjoyed talking to you. You know, you are my neighbor here on the hallway in the university, but it's always nice to plant my eyeballs on you and to talk to you. I really appreciate it. I can't say thank you enough for coming out to the podcast and sharing your expertise and your experience with the listeners out there. So thank you so much. And for our listeners out there, thank you guys for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and go ahead and give us a review. Rate us on whatever podcast app you're joining us from. Give us a review. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we need to do better. That's the only way we're going to get better. I look forward to seeing you guys at GAETC. Stop by the booth. We'll be broadcasting live. We'll have a live video feed for the first time coming from GAETC. We're going to have tons of swag to throw out.
Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing everybody there. So that's it. Stop by the booth. Say hello. And until the next episode, cheers.
Education 3.0 is produced by the instructional coaches from iTeach at Kennesaw State University. You can reach out to them for more information, questions, or comments at their website, www.ksuiteach.org, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.